to Acts chapter 1. We're not going to deal with Acts a lot, but there's something I want to talk about on rightly dividing tonight that we will start in the book of Acts. One of the main things you have to understand in rightly dividing is the book of Acts. And the book of Acts, we're going to do this. We're going to go chapter 1 through chapter 7. And then we'll go to chapter 9. And then we'll go to chapter 13. We're not going to go to all these places probably in the Bible, actually, but I'm going to show you something on a timeline here. I want to go to probably 28. So the book of Acts, in chapter 1 to chapter 7, God's dealing with Jews. He's not dealing with Gentiles. There's not a Gentile in there. So in chapter number 2, 38, that's the verse in there that all the Pentecostals and all the charismatics, they want to play around there and say, well, it says right here, repent and be baptized for the remission of sin, you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Well, he was talking to the Jews, and he just told them they'd crucified their Messiah. And they said, what must we do? Talking about the Jews. When you get saved, you don't go, Lord, what must we do? You go, what must I do? It's individual. So they were asking about the Jews, and the Jews that crucified their Messiah said to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. So there's one way they received the Holy Ghost, by repenting of killing the Messiah. Then you get over to Acts chapter number 9, and Paul gets saved. He's saved on the road to Damascus. Ananias comes to him and puts his hands on him. He gets the Holy Spirit when he lays his hands on him. So in chapter 2, they get water baptized. They get the Holy Spirit. Chapter 9, Ananias lays hands on Paul, and he gets the Holy Spirit. You get over at the end of Acts, and Paul says, look, you get saved, you got the Holy Spirit. So it's the transition time. The Jews that require a sign and that had crucified their Messiah, they had to start out repenting and being baptized to get the Holy Spirit. And chapter 9, Paul has somebody lay hands on him. Somebody's already got the Holy Spirit, lays hands on him, he gets the Holy Spirit. Well, now you get the Holy Spirit when you call on Jesus Christ, trust him as your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit indwells you. Paul got saved, and he was not in Christ yet. Remember, being in Christ is being in the body of Christ. That's a spiritual baptism. When Ananias put his hands on Paul and prayed, Brother Saul, he said, and he got the Holy Spirit, he was baptized into Christ. These folks here, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes on them, they believe, they're saved, and then they get baptized into Christ. Over here, chapter 9, like I said, Paul gets hands laid on him, he's baptized into Christ. Now, when you get saved, you're baptized into one Lord, one Spirit, one baptism. And it's not the water baptism from the Church of Christ. It's a spiritual baptism. Our water baptism doesn't save you. It's just a showing that you've been saved. So I want to talk, we've talked a little bit before about this, about hyper-dispensationalism. We're going to look at some verses, look at about eight wrong teachings in the Bible. I'm not teaching you eight wrong things. I'm going to look at what they say, that are eight things that are wrong that hyper-dispensationalists teach. Now, there are folks out there that believe there's a difference in the Old Testament and New Testament that think we're hyper-dispensationalists because we think there's a difference between the way you get saved in different ages, because the Bible shows there is. You get up to the tribulation time, they don't get saved the same way we get saved in the church age. You get to the millennial reign, salvation is not the same. And as a matter of fact, we talked about that before. The end of the tribulation, we're talking about enduring to the end to be saved. It's talking about enduring tribulation and talking about physical salvation to be taken into the millennial reign. A lot of different things there. But I consider myself a moderate dispensationalist. If I was just a mild dispensationalist, I'd say, yeah, there's an Old Testament, New Testament, or something different there. Moderate dispensationalist, I believe there are different dispensations where God dealt with people different ways. And we have went through that in an exhaustive study a couple years back. We might do it again. I don't know. Lord lays it on my heart. But a hyper-dispensationalist, I mean, they chop that thing up where they say the book of Acts is several different, it's different dispensations. Okay? What we're looking at here is a transition period. It's the same church age. After the death of Jesus Christ, that's the church age dispensation. After the death of Jesus Christ, though, people got the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and Holy Spirit a different way until we get to Paul, and Paul gets the revelation of the body of Christ, and we get the full church age doctrine, full church age come in. So it's the same dispensation. Everybody's saved by trusting Jesus Christ, but they did different things to get the Holy Spirit in this dispensation, this church age. Now when you call on the Lord, the Holy Spirit indwells you and you are put in Christ. So we'll look at about eight things tonight that people teach that are wrong. And again, this is part of my job so you don't get messed up and be wrong. It's not just to go, well, those guys are wrong, we're right. We're all going to get to heaven and find out we were wrong on something because we're not God. But what the Bible says, and we'll look at that tonight. Point number one, false teaching number one. Paul was the first in the body of Christ. That's not true. We're going to look at why. We just talked about that. The Holy Spirit, people were put in the body in different ways and different places until you get into Paul's ministry. Now we're all put in the same way. Paul wasn't the first one in the body. Let's get to Galatians chapter number 1. In Galatians chapter number 1, okay, first of all, what is the body of Christ? Let's back up a second. What is the body? Let's look at, hang on to Galatians 1 and turn also, take a right and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Get ahead of myself here. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And he, talking about Jesus Christ, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So he is the head of the body, which is the church. So the body is the church. Right? That's what the book says. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Take a left just a short ways there. In case you're thinking, well, that's one verse, let's see another one. All right, here we go. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 says, And hath put all things under his feet, Jesus Christ, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So the church is the body of Christ. We just got the Bible. I don't take one verse to show you a Bible doctrine. There's two verses right there to show you, and there's more. I'm just going to deal with two verses right now on that. There's two verses that show you the church is the body of Christ. Now if you look over here at Galatians chapter 1, they say, well, Paul was the beginning of the body. Paul was the beginning. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13 says, for ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. If the body is the church and the church is the body and Paul persecuted the church before he got saved, how could he be the first one in the body? He was persecuting the body before he got saved. Saved people aren't in, or unsaved people aren't in the body. So Paul couldn't have been the first one in the body. What had happened was Paul, there were people getting in the body of Christ that didn't understand it. And Paul, God revealed it to Paul what was happening. But it was happening. There were people in the church, in the body, and Paul was persecuting them. Look at Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter number 8, verse number 1, and Saul, that's Paul before he converted, and Saul was consenting unto his death, talking about Stephen, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So there is Paul persecuting the church again before his salvation. Now look at verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. And of course we know Acts chapter 9, he had hands laid on him and he was put in the body. So Paul was obviously, he could not have been the first one in the body, because he'd have been the first one in the church. And if he was the first one in the church, he couldn't have persecuted the church before he was saved. Pretty simple. And we got people that are, I mean, soul winners. They are Bible-believing soul winners that will tell you Paul was the first one in the body. And we're going to get to why they do that, but later. But they're right on salvation. They're right on eternal security. But they're all hung up on Paul. And what a lot of them will do is tell you, you really shouldn't read anything but Romans to Philemon. Some of them will go as far as say, don't read anything but Paul's writings. They'll even go as far as to say, Paul's writings, his prison epistles, his early ones and his later ones were different on salvation. And they're not. Paul's salvation message was always the same. Peter's the one that God talked to, and he changed his salvation message because Peter was dealing with the Jews and Paul turned it. We'll look at that too in a little while, Lord willing. So Paul was not the first one in the body. It says Peter and Paul never preached the same message. That's something else I'll tell you. Peter and Paul. Peter and Paul never preached the same message. What was Paul's message? Paul talked about the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. Paul said in 1 Corinthians it was about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, how he died for our sins, according to Scripture. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this because you guys are already looking at me like that's ridiculous. So look at 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers," talking to Jews here, "but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So it's talking about being redeemed by the blood of Christ. That's a purchase back. That's a different thing than Peter was preaching at first. He was preaching about works. So he's saying, "Now Paul and Peter, they never preached the same thing." Okay, well, we're going to see that's not true. I'm not going to cover any more verses on that because you're going to see in when we deal with another one of these points, you're going to see that's not true. Again, we're going to cover the same some of the same material in a different area. Paul was, they'll say Paul was the beginning and foundation. This is crazy. Of the church. I'm going to show you the verses they use. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We actually had a visitor a couple times in the last couple years that believed all this stuff. And he was coming in here to change our mind on that stuff. what he wanted to do, he was hoping that I wouldn't teach you any Bible and he could teach you the Bible. That's what they do. They get in your church and they want to become your pastor. They want to tell you what to believe in the Bible, and they don't have any Bible to show you. So if I don't show you from the Bible and they come in, then it's my fault if they get you all messed up on the Bible. Right? But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 says, according to the grace of God, this is Paul talking, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So look what it says. They said, well, see right there, Paul says he's the foundation. He's the start, beginning of the church. So he was the first one. No, he's not. That's not even what he says. He doesn't say he's the foundation. Look what he says. According to the grace of God which is given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Now, Don, you're into construction and stuff. You've been into that stuff. You build houses and everything else. When you put a foundation down, you lay the foundation, but you're not the foundation. It'd be hard to build a house after that if you were the foundation, right? Paul said he's a wise master builder. He laid the foundation. See, they stop there. Look what it says in verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Right. Jesus Christ is the foundation. Now, you remember we just read something here a little bit ago in Colossians chapter 1. You don't turn there with me. I'll flip over there real quick and read it to you since you just left there. But I want to look at one word, a couple words in this. Colossians chapter 1. 18. He is the head of the body, talking about Jesus Christ, the church, who is the beginning. He's the beginning of the church. The firstborn from the dead. There's where the church starts. Right? That in all things he might have the preeminence. Technically, the body of Christ starts at the setting of that the body of Christ is broken. That body, the church becomes the body, and the body, but it's a transition period. So Paul said, they say, well, Paul's the foundation. Paul's the beginning of the church. No, Jesus Christ is the beginning of the church. Matter of fact, there's another thing. I believe it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 where Paul says, let's look at verse 11, 1 Corinthians 1:11. For it hath been declared unto me, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Paul's pointing to Jesus Christ, said he's the beginning. He's the one that was crucified for you. He's the one that baptizes you. And it's him. It's Jesus Christ. So Paul is obviously not the beginning. They use another verse, 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, Paul saying, that in me first Jesus Christ might shew forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So you see right there, Paul's the foundation and Paul's the pattern, they say. What did it just say? Let's read this again. It says, howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that I in me first Jesus Christ might shew forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them. So what's he doing? He's a pattern of a showing of Jesus Christ longsuffering. So here Paul was, the biggest persecutor of the church, the biggest killer of Christians in his time, the most religious guy there was, killing Christians. And God, he's a pattern of God's long-suffering and what God will do with somebody. That's the pattern. It's not we got to pattern ourselves everything after Paul because he was the beginning of the church. Paul was not the beginning of the church. Paul persecuted the church before he was saved. Right? This one gets really strange, but it is what it is. They're all strange as far as I'm concerned. They actually think there's two bodies. Now, I'll go ahead and go there, but I mean, we've been there before. But let's look at the verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 1 Corinthians chapter 12. They say that the Jews back here, they say there's one body. And then when you say, what about the Jews before Paul? They say, well, they're another body. They're what they call the little flock. So there's a body back here, supposedly, and then from Paul on, there's another body, which ends at the rapture, by the way. But that's not a second body. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13 says, for as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all, been all made to drink of the one Spirit. So there it says there's one body. And what's it say? It's made up of Jews and Gentiles, but they're no longer Jew or Gentile in Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. By the cross. From the cross on, there's one body. There's not two bodies. I mean, over and over and over again, it says one body. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One body. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So it's obvious there's not two bodies, there's one body. Okay. This is number 5. Only Gentiles are in the body. First of all, if you're in the body, you're not Jew or Gentile. All right? Ephesians chapter 4, again. Verse 11. I mean, we're gonna really run this dog down here, but he's talking about gifts, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay, did you realize what it just said here? He gave some apostles. Do you realize the apostles were 12 Jews? So how could there only be? Guess who Paul was. They say Paul's the beginning of the body, only Gentiles in the body, and Paul's a Jew. It doesn't make sense. Because they're wrong. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter number 12. Look at verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one body, having been different gifts. And there again, this comes up with the gifts and the apostles. Talks about the different gifts and talking about the apostles. The apostles are Jews, so they were in the body. They were part of the body. Look at Romans 16. Remember who wrote Romans? Paul. Look at verse 7. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, Jews. That's what kinsmen are. They're his relatives, so they're Jews. And my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. They're Jews in Christ, which is in the body. Which is going to bring us to another point. Where Paul says that the word in Christ is only for, it's only for Gentiles. The Gentiles are in there. The in Christ is only about Gentiles. Has nothing to do with Jews. Well, he just mentioned his Jewish relatives that were in Christ before him. So we got two things. We got Jews in Christ, which is the body, and they're in there before him. So he couldn't have started the body. He had Jewish relatives in the body before he got saved. Matter of fact, he was persecuting some of them. Amen? Oh, boy. Yeah. I got to remember to put question marks on here. I don't want anybody to think that I believe this stuff. Ooh, yeah. The blood. Is only for Gentiles. You know what? Most of these people that believe this stuff are called Bereans. You know what Bereans are? They search the scriptures and they're proud of searching the scriptures and they don't know what they're teaching. But in the Bible it says the Bereans were diligent about searching the scriptures. So what they are, they're disgruntled Baptists. Everybody that believes close to what we believe but wants to fight with us, they're disgruntled Baptists. And most of the churches out there without denominational names are disgruntled Baptists. So the blood is only for the Gentiles. Then they go to Matthew 26. Go to Matthew 26 real quick, and we'll read their verse, and then we'll show you what the Bible really says about this and how they twist it. Matthew 26. I mean, you may not remember everything that we go over, but if you meet somebody out and you're talking to them and they're saved and they go, hey, what do you think about Paul? What's your preacher think about this? And they start telling you a bunch of stuff that doesn't match up with what I've told you, then you can go, I don't exactly know what he told me, but I remember he told me that was wrong. Show me from the Bible one time. Then you can come back to me and I'll show you again. Or you can write it down or whatever, but we go over a lot of stuff. I don't expect you to remember everything. I just expect you to know what's wrong when you hear it, you know, some of this stuff. Try to help you. Because believe me, you wouldn't believe the stuff I run into. And I'm like, I pastored a church for 5 years or whatever, and I preached in the prisons for all these years and jails, and they come up with stuff, and I'm like, what in the world? Where'd you even come up with that? I mean, I'm going to have to ask God and see if he'll give me that one, amen, because I have no idea what you're talking about. You know, they just come up with some stuff. So Matthew 26, 28. Jesus Christ said, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And they said, see there, it doesn't say for all, it says for many. It's just shed for the Gentiles. Okay? First of all, you would have never thought that on your own. Somebody would have to tell you to think that. But look what it says in Luke 22. In Luke 22, we'll begin in verse 19, this is the Lord's Supper. Remember, this is him and the disciples here. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 20, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. The only people that were with him were Jews. He said that blood was shed for them. We just read in 1 Peter 1:18 that they weren't saved by silver and gold. They knew that from the vain tradition of their fathers, which are the Jewish fathers, but by the blood of Christ, the precious blood of Christ. Peter saying that to the Jews. So this is not true. It's ridiculous. I didn't space this out very good. Oh, they, was it Peter? Only went to the Jews. And Paul went to the Gentiles. Well, first of all, first part of Paul's ministry, he was preaching to the Jews. And then he gradually turned to the Gentiles. You can see that all over the place. But in Acts chapter 10, if you turn there real quick, we'll look at this. In Acts chapter number 10, let's look at, let's read verse 1 to start with. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. He's a Jew, he's a Gentile, a Roman Gentile. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. So go down here and it says in verse number 7. And when the angel which spake with Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants. It says, and now, the angel tells him, and now in verses 5, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. So guess what? Peter goes and preaches to Cornelius, a Gentile, and he gets saved. So Peter didn't just go to Jews. He was primarily the apostle to the Jews, but he preached to Gentiles. Right there's one getting saved. Paul didn't just go to the Gentiles. He was primarily the apostle to the Gentiles, but he went to Jews too. Let's see if I can find this real quick. Just keep it in Acts chapter 9. I'll go back to Acts chapter 9. Verse 15. Lord talking to Paul. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. He's talking to Ananias about Paul. To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So Paul was sent to preach to the Jews and the Gentiles. So not just the Jews. So they say this. The mystery given to Paul about the church was that he was the first in the body. Let's see what the mystery really is. Look at Ephesians chapter number 3. See what this mystery really says. What the Bible really says about this mystery. Ephesians chapter 3. Well, let's read from 1 down through your ways. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So the mystery is the Gentiles will be fellow heirs. Fellow heirs with who? The Jews. So it's Jews and Gentiles in Christ. It's not that Paul was the first one in Christ. He wasn't the first one in Christ. So here, let's look at the problem. When I'm look at this problem, we're going to look at it. Colossians chapter number 1. And we read this earlier. We'll read it again. And I'm not saying this to like we are above having issues with pride, but I want to understand why this stuff happens. In Colossians chapter number 1, let's see. Now let's read verse 18. No. Let's go back. Let's read 12 through 18. Giving thanks unto God, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Obviously talking about Jesus Christ, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. So that's Jesus Christ, obviously. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the church, the body, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Why in the world would somebody take the focus and take it from Jesus Christ and put it on Paul? What it's doing is taking the preeminence. He did what he did so he could have the preeminence, Jesus Christ. So instead of saying Jesus Christ is our, he's our Savior, he's the one, he did everything, they point to Paul. Why would they do that? Is that of God? It's of the devil. So you're saying that people are lost and devil-possessed. Now, you're saying that. I'm saying that man struggles with pride. And I'm saying that these men will reject what the Bible says. They will get what other men think and believe, and they'll read it into what they read. It's easier sometimes to read things into the Bible that aren't there than read things out of it that are there. But they'll read a verse like we talked about earlier where it talked about Paul being the foundation. It didn't even say that. But somebody said, well, Paul's the foundation. Look at verse 10 there. And I'll read that and I go, yeah, he's the foundation. It says he's a wise master builder and he laid the foundation. The very next verse says Jesus Christ is the foundation. So why would they do that? The devil wants to take the preeminence, the focus, the glorification off of Jesus and put it on Paul. Paul rejected that. Paul said, kept pointing back to Jesus. He said, was Paul crucified for you? Right? He pointed him to Jesus Christ. So ultimately what the problem is the pride of man. And the devil will line him up with this kind of stuff, and in pride they'll take it, and they'll start preaching that kind of stuff. So what they're doing is they're taking the preeminence from Jesus Christ and putting it on Paul, but indirectly they're putting it on them. Because what they're saying is, everybody else is wrong, and I'm right, and you're going to believe what I say, and I don't even have to show you from the Bible. Amen? And the devil is counting on the people in the pews not reading their Bible. I could take a verse out of here. I could pull a verse out of just any book in the New Testament and mess you all up. I'll just mess you all up. I could show you somewhere in the book of Ephesians, I could show you got to work for salvation. I could twist it, and I could say that. We don't do that. I mean, if you got a verse and you want to apply that verse and say there's a doctrine in that verse, read the verses before it and after. Two or three, four verses before and after. See who it's talking to and what's it saying. If they would just read verse 11, they would have found out it says Jesus Christ is the foundation. No other foundation is laid but that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. I mean, that's in there too. Ephesians chapter 3, I think it is. But it's pride. They don't want to give Jesus preeminence. They want to give it to Paul. They want you to think they're giving it to Paul, but really they're giving it to themselves. And it becomes a cult. If I just tell you things and tell you, well, you know, that's not what that really means. That's not what that really means. And I can't show you the Bible, and you just believe me because I say it, we're a cult. That's what we would be. If I couldn't show you what I believe in the Bible, I wouldn't pay attention to me for 5 seconds. You know, and most of the time, when we're teaching something, I'll run into something, and I'm not sure about that, but it looks like this. But these eight things are wrong. Paul was not the first in the body of Christ, because the body of Christ is the church, and he persecuted the church before he got saved. Peter and Paul never preached the same message. Yes, they did. Peter was preaching in 1 Peter to Jews about the blood atonement. Paul was the beginning and foundation. We know better than that. It says Jesus Christ the foundation. Two bodies, a little flock, and then the big flock. It says one body, one body, one body, one body, one body, over and over and over again. only Gentiles are in the body. It says the Jew and Gentile bring them both together in one body. And then there's no Jew or Gentile in Christ. And the blood is only for the Gentiles. Where there again, Peter was preaching the blood to the Jews. And Jesus Christ himself in Luke chapter 22 told the Jews that were sitting with him, this is my blood that I shed for you. Jews. But Peter only went to the Jews. We just seen he led Cornelius to the Lord and probably countless other Gentiles to the Lord. But we know he led Cornelius to the Lord. And the mystery is not Paul being the first one in the body. It's the Jew and Gentile being one in Christ. So, and I just, the individual that come in here a couple times, he called me first, and he started to ask me questions about the book of Acts after he told me I was the greatest preacher that ever walked the face of the earth. That's what they'll do. They'll take, man, you are the nicest person. That's the prettiest dress. Those are the nicest glasses. Let me tell you some doctrine. What they do is they try to develop a friendship rapport with you, and then they want to dump all this false doctrine on you. So oh man, I listen to you preaching online. Man, I'll tell you what, it's a wonder the internet don't burn down. You're a fire-breathing preacher, man. I mean, just going on and on. And I'm thinking, oh brother. And he says, what do you think about the book of Acts? Where do you think the church started? And I thought, this is getting weird. What do you think about Paul? Do you think in Revelation, the 12 stones, and the stones of the apostles, do you think Paul's in there? Or Paul's the apostle of the Gentiles. But there was a disciple that they got rid of. Remember Judas? And he was replaced. So is the one that replaced Paul in that foundation, or Judas in that foundation, or is Paul in that foundation? Well, I mean, the foundation are Jewish apostles. I'm inclined to believe that Paul won't be in that foundation because he was the apostle of the Gentiles, but I might be wrong. I'm not 100% sure on that. I don't have a problem with Paul being not in that foundation because he was one born in a due season after Christ had already been dead and rose again. The rest of the apostles walked with Christ before he was crucified, so there's something different about Paul there too. But what they want to end up doing is say, see, there's a difference in Paul's ministry. Because Peter's going to be in that, and Paul won't. Because Peter and Paul never preached the same thing. And it go down the line of all this stuff. Tell you, there was one body. Well, so how could there be one body and these people not be in a body? Well, there's two bodies, actually. They'll just change it. They'll call it a little flock, and then they'll call it a body or whatever. Now, not all hyper-dispensationalists believe every one of these things, but most of them do. The ultra-hyper-dispensationalists will tell you don't even read anything but what Paul wrote. Don't read the Old Testament or any of that stuff. Don't read anything but what Paul wrote. But that's just not the case. The Bible is all written for our learning and admonition. Everything in there will help us be better for the Lord if we read it and trust the Word. And you can learn how to walk with the Lord from the Old Testament too. Amen. Seeing how Israel, what happened to them when they trusted him, when they didn't trust him. You want to know what your personality, what you're like, your old nature and your new nature? Look at Israel. In God's will, out of God's will. In God's will, out of God's will. Worshiping God wholeheartedly, saying we're going to do everything you say to do, worshiping pagan gods 3 days later. I mean, you want to see what you're like? Look at Israel. Amen. But Paul was not the beginning of the church. So Acts is definitely a transition book, but none of these things are sure, according to the Word of God. And that's all I wanted to cover for tonight. I mean, that's a lot. But anybody have any questions, brother? Well, if you look at Acts chapter number 2, and Acts chapter number 7, in Acts chapter number 2, in verse 36, it says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what must we do?" It's talking to the house of Israel, right? What must we do? "And then Peter said unto them, Repent, be baptized for the remission of sin in the name of Jesus Christ. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So, right there, he told them, he didn't just talk about Messiah, he talked about being Lord and Christ. Okay, which Christ and Messiah, I mean, I can go with that, that's, you know, the anointed and all that. So let's look at Acts chapter 7. Well, let's see here. Acts chapter number 7. Stephen goes through the whole history of them rejecting the prophets, pointing to Jesus Christ. And he goes through, calls them stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. "Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which shewed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now, and ye have been now the betrayers and murderers." So they're telling them they murdered their Messiah. They already had an information he was Lord and Christ. So I believe back here they realized they'd crucified their Messiah, and that's the reason they asked, "What must we do?" That's the reason they had to have that water baptism. It had something physical to do with the Jews. And they received the Holy Spirit. But I'm not 100% sure exactly what they believed here. I know he said he's Lord and Christ, so it's something different than just saying you crucified your Messiah. But these people that got in Acts chapter 2 where they got the Holy Ghost come on them and it come down there and they started speaking in tongues, they were people that believed, and then the Holy Ghost come on them. I believe they were put in the body of Christ right there. Christ was already crucified and rose again so they could go in the body of Christ. Nobody before Calvary could get in the body of Christ. The Old Testament saints are not in the body of Christ. It doesn't look like to me. They were in Abraham's bosom. He led them out. He's got a new purpose for them. Matter of fact, a lot of them are going to be on this earth again. They're going to walk this earth again in the millennial reign. Talking about Moses and David and Elijah. Moses and Elijah have already been back. They're going to come back mid-tribulation. They're going to come back the thousand-year reign probably right there. But yeah, there's a... I don't believe there's a difference in this dispensation as far as it's all Jesus Christ and what he done on Calvary. But there's a difference in the understanding, because Peter didn't even understand until Paul told him. So when they said Lord and Christ, they're thinking, man, we goofed up. So I'm not exactly sure on that. I don't want to tell you something wrong on that. But I know they got the Holy Spirit different than Paul got the Holy Spirit. And then after, you know, up in here, they get the Holy Spirit the same way we get in here. By the end of the book of Acts, they get the Holy Spirit just like we do. Trust Christ, call on him. Believe that he died for your sins, trusting in his blood. You call on him, and you're sealed. I believe these people here could have believed and not received the Holy Spirit and went to hell, because they weren't sealed yet. Even though there's a brief time between that, I believe Paul could have. If Paul wouldn't have done what God said to do, God blinded him and sent him to a certain place, and he stayed there, he wasn't sealed, didn't even have the Holy Spirit. So technically, it looks like Paul could have died and went to hell before Ananias put his hands on him. But he put his hands on him, gets the Holy Spirit, he gets that spiritual baptism, he's in Christ, Christ is in him, and he's in the church. But the church existed before Paul. So did they understand what the body was before Paul? No. The church existed before Paul, though. That's the reason I'm saying there's not two dispensations between the Jews and Paul on to the end of the church age. Because there was already a church before Paul. There was already a body before Paul. I'm not exactly sure what these guys understood. I know what they didn't understand. They didn't understand everything Paul understood, because Peter didn't. So I really don't know. That's probably not a good answer, but it's the safest answer I can give you. It's a safer answer than just saying I believe this, I believe that, because I'm not 100% sure on that, and I do believe that.
kind of a secure point, just now how Stephen and I made a point last week, really, without us going to Matthew, Mark, and John, I forget which one it was, when Jesus is going to the cross, and he looks at a group of women, and says, we're about to go into that time where it's going to be bad for women to have children, and obviously paraphrasing. But that really, to me, sounds like it's got to be a reference to him, the tribulation starting after the cross. And like you said, him about to come back. Am I making sense?
Yeah, so I wish I knew what verse exactly you were talking about, but he was talking to the women on the way to the cross and are about to enter into a bad time. Let's... Well, you have to remember, too, though, that, like you said, like James, is a dual application, but for the same time frame. James. So James is looking at this, and he's looking at the persecution, because the Jews were already, Stephen was stoned to death, and the Christian Jews were scattered abroad. We just read that. And he writes to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. They were scattered abroad when Stephen was stoned to death. But the tribulation time, it's going to be the same thing. So James is looking, thinking tribulations happened. Well, there was persecution. They were going through bad things. Luke 23.
Yeah, where it is, because I was surprised to read that because we were just talking about that church.
But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps that never give suck. Then shall they begin to say, the mountains fall on us, and the hills cover us. That's tribulation. But there is also the fact that they crucified him. When they crucified him, those that believed on him afterwards were being persecuted. Paul was killing them and throwing them in prison before he got saved. So they were going through things where they were wishing that same thing then. Because they were, Paul was going from house to house imprisoning people. So, yeah, it was happening then, but it's really going to happen up, well, my timeline's gone. It's going to happen in tribulation. That fit both places, actually. Absolutely. Now, when James was writing it, he wasn't seeing it exactly like Jesus was. He was looking at tribulation, and they were going through some tribulation. But then the Bible says there will be great tribulation. That great tribulation time was not what they were going through there. They could have went through that great tribulation then if things would have worked out differently. But I don't know exactly. I can't explain all that either. But I do know in the tribulation time it's going to be great tribulation. And that's where they're going to be asking for the mountains to fall on and stuff. People are going to be praying it. You know, you're talking about a time where things are coming up out of hell with stingers on them, stinging people for 5 months, and they're looking for death and can't find it. I mean, there's just going to be some crazy stuff going on. People better get saved. They better get saved for the next election, because good night, they're ramping it up. They better get saved soon.